Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts. Right now, I'd like to welcome Linda Siegel with the Legislative Update. Welcome, Linda.
Well, good morning, Mary Charlotte.
Oops, wrong button there.
Good morning, Mary Charlotte.
It's now, the legislature kicked off, a few days ago?
Tuesday the 17th.
And all the bills that are going to be introduced have already been introduced.
Well, no, there could be more.
There could be
more.
Remember,
you can introduce bills 15 days into a 30-day session.
Oh, that's right.
So already we have 260 bills introduced on a 30-day session that's primarily for budgets.
Oh, and what kinds of topics do these bills cover?
Well, everything from crime to education to abortion, pension reform, fireworks banning.
Abortion?
Oh, yes. We have a bill for parental notification of an abortion, which means once a bill on a topic is introduced, then anything else on that topic can be introduced and might be germane.
So basically, any pro, anti, whatever abortion bill can be introduced once the original one is.
Yes.
Which
yes.
means basically that these 260 bills, which surely cover the whole spectrum of human experience, make it possible for hundreds of other bills to be introduced.
Well, many of these were introduced by the legislators not knowing whether there'd be germane or not. So the idea is a legislator drops a bill in and then they hope that there's another bill that has a similar message so that they can have that heard.
Ah, okay. So how does that process sort itself out?
Well, what happens in a 30-day session, which as we talked about last week is just for budgets, the governor can issue what's called a call, C-A-L-L, and she puts bills on her call. And those are the topics that she wants to cover. And she gave yesterday 48 messages on all these different types of bills. So many legislators went to the governor and said, I would like to put my bill on this issue. And so she issued a message and put that bill on the call. Then other legislators who thought, well, if that topic's going to be introduced, I'll introduce one too.
How partisan is this process?
It's pretty partisan all the time. Now, as you may have heard in the governor's State of the State speech, she said, I'd really like to work across the aisle and get with people and try to reach compromises. So we'll see how that goes.
It's, given the last year, she came in really with a pretty strong agenda and has had a bit of a comeuppance in certain areas, like some of the things she did were found to be illegal by the state Supreme Court and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's creating a bit of more of a spirit of compromise and bipartisanship?
Well, I think that contributes to it. Also, the fact that she came in, she hadn't been a legislator, she wasn't familiar with the process, and so governors learn. This happened when years and years ago Gary Carruthers was the governor, and he came in the first session really going just really adversarial, and then he went, I can't get anything through. I think maybe I'll work with people.
Right.
And oftentimes that happens with governors.
I heard a city councilor once talking about what the job was like, and what she said was, It is the job where, above all, you have to learn to work with other people. And at the state level, I'm sure it's the same thing.
Absolutely. And isn't that what we want? We certainly don't see it on the federal level right now. There's no working together.
No.
So I hope we can get a good working
relationship. And be a role model for Congress in Washington.
There you go.
So, okay, help us understand, how is it that a 30-day session, which is just about the budget, is dealing with abortion and all sorts of other things?
Well, over the last 8 years when Richardson was governor, every other year when he had a 30-day session, he had an ambitious agenda. And so he started putting lots of bills on the call. And I think this new governor is just kind of following in his footsteps, though she wouldn't like to have it characterized that way.
Right.
And it's really up to the governor. They can, when Gary Johnson was governor, he hardly ever put any bills on the call. So when it was a 30-day session, it was a budget session, and that's it.
And how would you, having seen this for so many years, characterize the difference? I mean, is it more peaceful and less productive? I mean, what happens when a budget session really is just about the budget, Johnson style?
Well, then a lot of the legislators that aren't on the Appropriations Committee, in the House Appropriations Committee or the Senate Finance Committee, they don't have a lot to do. So there's a lot of sitting around by the non-finance people. But then when there's a call like this with 48 messages and 260 bills already introduced, everybody's busy. Every committee is meeting and going through these bills. And the Rules Committee in both chambers, Senate Rules, House Rules, they have to determine if bills that don't have a governor message or it's not the specific bill the governor wanted, they have to determine if that bill is germane and can go ahead and go through the process. So they meet a lot, and they will be meeting a lot with these 260 bills determining whether they're germane or not.
What are some of the 48 messages that you think are worth telling us about?
Well, it's kind of interesting. There is a message on parental notification. There are messages on a lot of crime bills, like DWI, enhancing penalties, which we've heard the governor talking a lot about lately. A crime bill, a message for no statute of limitation on second degree or other types of murders. Background checks for relatives
There's
in foster care.
There's a statute of limitations on murder in New Mexico?
Yes, if it's not first-degree murder, there's a statute of limitations. Remember that woman who buried her husband? This was in Albuquerque, and they found it out about a year ago. She had buried her husband under the patio or something in the backyard.
After having knocked him on the head with a crowbar?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And then they didn't find him for 8 years, and they can't press charges.
Oh, my goodness.
So that's what that bill is about.
Well,
she's got a message on increasing child abuse penalties and increasing penalties for public corruption, like when our officials do bad things. Another message.
Can't argue with that.
Really, really. Another message on the fireworks ban. I mean, that's an important one that we all experienced last summer. So that's one I think that will probably get through so that the state government or the counties can say absolutely no fireworks. There's the education reform. She's got messages on bills like that. The social promotion, no social promotion in the third grade if you can't read.
Yeah, as we talked about, teaching children to read is on the legislative agenda.
Well, and here's an example on that one. She has her bill that says you cannot, that the public schools can keep you from moving on beyond the third grade if you can't read. Then the legislators, a couple of legislators, Rick Miata, who's the chair of House Education, they have another bill that would say, yes, the parents can still have their child move on, but that there have to be all these other attempts at remediation to help that child learn how to read. So that bill wouldn't be messaged and on the call, but because she did a bill that has a message about that issue, the legislator's bill can be on the call. So that's
okay.
An example. Pension reform. The PERA, which is the state pension, and the ERB, which is the educator's pension, both of those need some tweaking because they're deficient in their funds, so to speak. And they've got to do these reforms in the next, well, we probably should have done them a few years ago.
Yeah.
So those
Meaning
are critical.
There's people who are retiring, there's not enough money to pay them their pensions?
Not when you go out to the full extent of years. Both these funds are millions and millions of dollars deficient. So those scary things like that are on the are messaged and
Very
on the governor's call. Ethics bills, there's some ethics bills related to our Sunshine Portal. You know, any citizen can go on this website called the Sunshine Portal and pull up the budgets of the state, look at our investment accounts, see how our state land grant permanent fund and severance tax permanent funds are doing, which total over $12 billion. But the Sunshine Portal now is going to list all the names, or maybe it already does, all the names of every state employee and how much they make and what department they work in.
Very interesting.
Yes. So there are lots of good things, perhaps.
SunshinePortalNM.com, ladies and gentlemen.
There you go. And, of course, the governor has some tax bills that she'd like to see passed. Not increasing taxes, but decreasing them.
Uh-huh. Because we have such a surplus of money that we don't need to tax anymore?
Well, that's another issue. The chair of Senate Finance, John Arthur Smith, who's from Deming, has sounded the alert that we may not have that $250 million that we talked about last week, that surplus.
Where'd it go?
Well, it might, it's not gone yet totally, but since natural gas revenues are declining, and remember we talked about for every 10 cents increase in the cost of, in the price of natural gas, the state gets $10 to $12 million in revenue. So if we go down 10 cents, that's significant revenue that we've lost, and the price at this moment of natural gas is declining. So we at this moment, I don't think we know exactly, well, we don't know exactly how much surplus we have, and that's going to make the task of the legislature very difficult.
Very interesting. It would be instructive to make a graph of the relationship between natural gas prices, taxes, and our gas bills.
How come our prices on natural gas don't go down that
much? I know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, what are some of the bills that you, Linda Siegel, are watching?
Well, I'll be watching the education bills. I'll be actually working on those education bills. The Santa Fe Public Schools, obviously, is very concerned about what's going to happen there. If you're not going to move people along in the third grade, if they can't graduate to the fourth grade, then there's got to be some money to help those kids learn how to read. And however that's translated, we will see. There's also some very interesting legislation in the form of joint resolutions. We've talked about those in the past. A joint resolution is actually an amendment to the Constitution. That's one of the purposes of it. And this year, already introduced, are quite a few joint resolutions. And a joint resolution has to pass both the House and the Senate, does not need to be signed by the governor, but goes on the ballot in the next general election.
Interesting.
So we've heard a lot about the Public Regulation Commission. I'm always curious about this. There's a joint resolution to actually require qualifications for the people who run to be on the Public Regulation Commission.
That's a very, very interesting idea.
Yes, like have a bachelor's degree or have 5 years' experience in the one of the fields that the public regulation regulates. That will be one, I think, that will have a lot of discussion because people are so dissatisfied with the status of the commission.
You think?
Another one has to do with the funding of public education and early childhood education. There are a couple of amendments, constitutional amendments, to change the distribution in the land grant permanent fund. And that's the fund. It's got about $8 billion. No, it's got about, yeah, I think it's about $8 billion in it right now. And that's a fund created when the state became a state 100 years ago that actually names universities and colleges as recipients of the revenue from this fund and the public schools. That's one of the biggest chunks of money for the public schools comes from the land grant permanent fund. And in 2003, we increased that distribution to the public schools, which it used to be a rolling average of 4.5% over a five-year period was the amount of money that was distributed to the land-grant institutions and to the public schools. And in 2003, the public approved one of those constitutional amendments allowing a larger distribution up to 5.8%. So the public schools have been getting that money, but that money expires and starts to go down again back to the 4.7%. So the schools are very concerned in these difficult times. They're going to be losing money. So there's a constitutional amendment to keep it at the 5.8. And then there's another constitutional amendment to add early childhood education into that and go up to a 7% distribution.
Very interesting. And these are all, it's so tricky because the first thing you talked about, which is requiring qualifications to be able to run for the PRC, that's something that everybody can understand.
Right.
But percentage points and what that will do to our long-term future and
yes.
stability and all of that stuff, it's the classic devil is in the details kind of thing that your average person doesn't know how to make a decision on.
Right, right. There's a lot of discussion about whether if we go up to 7%, actually I think I misspoke. I'm pretty sure that land grant permanent fund's at $10 billion now. So if we go up to 7% distribution, that's going to impact how much that fund grows in the future.
Exactly. And of course, growth can't be guaranteed.
Right. Right.
Because growth is based on investments that are never certain.
Yes. And the economy, because of that declining, when that fund, actually, when we started taking more money out of that fund, it was only at $5 billion. So it has grown in the last 9 years up to the $10 billion. But it's still an unknown. And
yeah.
So a lot of legislators are really concerned about taking that 7% out.
Let me ask you a question. Has there been any official study done on why children aren't learning to read in the first and second grades? Is anybody going to sit in the classrooms and watch what is and isn't happening?
I have to say I don't know that there have been any studies. Where the studies have been is in the early childhood arena. So when you're looking at 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, the studies have shown that if you start doing more child development in those years, that those kids go to the first grade ready to learn. That a lot of kids who aren't in child care programs that have high quality and pre-K programs, that when they get to the kindergarten and first grade, they're not ready to learn.
That may be, but okay. My father's first language was Sicilian. In the first grade, he didn't know a word of English. He went to public school and got a PhD from Columbia University
mm-hmm.
27 years later.
Right.
It's not that six-year-olds are just unable to read or learn to read. I mean, it's nice to go to nursery school or whatever it's called, preschool, and get... But it's not impossible. I mean,
no,
again, I don't... This is not my area of expertise, and it's hard to understand, and I'd like to understand, and maybe we can do a show on it. If anybody's listening, please write to me at radiocafe@ksfr.org. But, I mean, I went to public school. There were 32 kids in my first grade class. We were lined up in this grid, this giant room with a giant grid of desks, and there was one teacher up front. And we had the book. We actually had the Dick and Jane books, and we said, "See Spot Run" aloud. And every single person in the class could read at the end of the first grade. It's not rocket science. I just don't understand what's going on. Are they starving? Are they drug addicted? Are they traumatized?
I do think that you and I lived in a different era in our youth than kids today. If you look at the Santa Fe Public Schools, about 55% of the kids don't speak English.
So what?
Yeah.
They have a complete total ability to learn to learn a foreign language at that age.
But then you also have a lot of kids from broken homes, abusive homes, poverty. There seem to be a lot more social problems that are impacting our kids, and that impacts your ability to learn in school. If you're hungry, if your parents had a fight the night before and you're stressed out. I mean, we all knew kids who had some of those problems, but they might not have been...
We all knew kids who had some of those problems, yeah. And they all learned to read.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you do need to get that
we
expert
do need
in
to,
here.
Ladies and gentlemen, can somebody help me out on this? Because it is baffling. It's baffling to me that it is such a huge problem. I can see that in specific cases.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
yes.
Okay, so we're almost out of time. Anything else you want to add before we go?
I think that'll do it. What we'll spend, you know, the legislators, every first week, they leave on Friday, so they're not there today. And that's the reason for that is that they have to take 2 or 3 days to print all of these bills that they've introduced and to assign them, to get them in their committees and get the committees ready to hear them. So they'll be back on Monday morning ready to go.
With and a stack then, of paper.
Yes, and we'll see what happens.
Linda Siegel is with us every Friday doing the legislative update for the duration of the 30-day session, so another few weeks. And maybe a little bit of extra update as we get toward the end.
As exciting things begin to happen.
Yes, indeed. Well, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
Rob DeWalt will be with us in just a moment. Please stay tuned. And I'd like now to welcome Rob DeWalt. He is with the Pasatiempo, Friday Arts Magazine in the Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's with us just about every Friday. Speaking of the arts, welcome.
Good morning, and happy birthday.
Oh, it was my birthday earlier this week. Thank you very much. And Karen Maroli is here to tell us about the Zia Singers' upcoming concerts tomorrow and Sunday.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Who are the Zia Singers?
Zia Singers are a group about, depending on the concert, about 30 to 33 women. And they come together and they rehearse every Tuesday morning. And we do a more classically oriented concert in the winter, and then a pops concert in the spring.
Okay. So what are some of the things you're going to be doing this winter classical concert?
Well, we are going to be focusing on songs from different cultures or that represent different cultures. So it's actually a little bit more broad in scope. We're calling it Songs for the Earth. So there are some things that are very African in nature. There are some things that are just generally pleading for peace and understanding between all different kinds of people. And then we have something like the Eric Whitaker Five Hebrew Love Songs, which were written on text by Eric Whitaker's wife, who is from Israel, I believe. So just a wide range of things that hopefully respect diversity everywhere.
And so it's a group where you have close a cappella harmonies, that kind of a sound?
We have various sounds, actually, but yes, we do have some of that, and then we have some a little bit more straightforward things. It's a wide mix of things, I would think, yeah.
How long have you been singing with them?
I'm actually the new director for the Zia Singers, so I've been working with them since the end of September, the very end of September.
So you're conducting and not singing?
Yes.
Were you singing with them before?
No. I'm very new to Santa Fe, actually. About a year and a half I've been in Santa Fe.
Ah, so. Excellent. So you making them work hard?
Yeah, I try to. Yeah.
What's one of your favorite? Tell us what's your perhaps favorite or one of your favorite pieces on this program.
Oh, see, now I'm going to have to toot my own horn. I'm a composer and arranger, so my favorite things to do are things that I've written, just because it's so nice to see a baby of yours come to life. So there's something that I just wrote literally a couple weeks ago, which is an arrangement of an Irish song, Star of the County Down, and that may be my favorite. It's very simple and straightforward, but it's, it's very meaningful to me because of the culture.
When and where are the concerts?
The concerts are Saturday and Sunday, the 21st and the 22nd. They're at 2:30, and they're both at the United Church of Santa Fe, where I'm also the choir director. So shout out to the United Church of Santa Fe.
Where's that?
It is at 1804 Arroyo Chamiso.
Oh, that church. That's
yes.
Wonderful. What are the acoustics like in there?
It's really actually a nice space. It's a very nice space. It's a little more modern and comfortable, but it's a nice space to sing in, so.
Karen Maroli is director of the Zia Singers, and we will see you at the United Church of Santa Fe this weekend.
That's right.
Thanks so much for being with us. Rob DeWalt.
Hola.
So you had a nice week off.
Yes, I had a nice, fairly relaxing week off, and I'm back at it as it goes.
Excellent.
Stoked to be back. I missed you last week.
We missed you too, but Robert Knott filled in very graciously and gracefully.
Of course. It's like putting on an old pair of shoes.
Robert Knott, are you listening to the comparison?
Not an old stinky pair of shoes, but like a nice dapper pair of John Fluvogs with two buckles.
For my birthday, I got from a friend a pair of doggy house slippers.
Real? Was it made of real dog?
No, it had a sort of cartoonish looking dog face in the front with a little snout.
That's cute. Have your dogs chewed it up yet?
I put them on and I started running around and the dogs chased them.
That doesn't bode well. I'd keep them in a locked closet.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to put them on a very high shelf.
Yeah, your dogs are smarter than you think they are.
And that would be pretty darn smart.
Yes, absolutely.
So what's going on? What's happening this weekend?
Well, there's tons of stuff going on. It's a great weekend for music and stuff. But I first want to just get this out of the way. I want to sort of promote the docent talks at the New Mexico Museum of Art because they're fairly interesting. And the one that's coming up on the 25th is Santa Fe in the 20s, Los Cinco Pintores. And this is at 12:15 on the 25th at the New Mexico Museum of Art. It's a docent talk, and it's great because you get to sort of visit with someone who can explain the art to you. And I've been to a couple of them, and they're fairly fascinating. And they happen very frequently. There's about four or five a month.
¿Quiénes son los cinco pintores?
No sé.
What five painters? We don't know.
It doesn't say what five painters it is actually, but it's about. I mean, it's one of the exhibits there.
Okay.
So you can go to the website and probably find out what those five painters are right away.
Excellent.
But that's 12:15. It's free with museum admission, and Mexico seniors are free on Wednesdays. So that's good. And then there's some art openings that look really interesting. We've got the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts has a bunch of stuff. Under the Influence, Iroquois Artists at IAIA.
Iroquois Artists?
Yeah.
Cool.
1962 to 2012. It's work by students of the Institute of American Indian Arts, and that's up through July. But there's a reception there's tons of shows that are opening. There's a great one called Res Car, a show called Res Car, photographs by Wendy Redstar. Shake, Rattle, and Roll, Mixed Media Rattles by Richard Glazer. And these shows are up through March, but there's a reception tonight from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Museum of Contemporary Native Arts right across from the Cathedral Park. Verve Gallery Photography, this is great. They're having a group photography show, and it's also a fundraiser for the Palace of the Governors and the New Mexico History Museum Archives, and the Santa Fe New Mexicans' own Jane Phillips is a part of that show. We're very,
nice.
Very proud of that. Eggman and Walrus has a great show, Sentimental Impropriety. It's a group show, and there's a reception from 5:30 to 9 p.m. tonight. That's up through the February 29th. And then Center for Contemporary Art, Specter Rips Project Space, Calaveras Resplandecientes, archival photographic prints by George O. Jackson, reception 6:30 to 8 p.m. It's a great story in today's Pasa Tiempo on page 40.
Excellent.
So that's the openings for tonight. There are some more exhibits. You can, of course, find out all about them in the Pasa Tiempo.
Yes, you can.
Calendar today.
And can we talk about this week's featured cat?
Yes,
from
please.
Felines and Friends. And the kitty is called Shamrock. She's still a bit shy. She's nonetheless very sweet and playful. She's warming up to people quickly in her foster home. Shamrock is a beautiful girl with a short black coat and golden eyes. That sounds cute.
How come there's no dog of the week?
Well, because they don't send me a dog of the week, because there's Felines and Friends.
You know what? We should just pick one.
That's what we do when Ben Swan comes in from the animal shelter, is we talk about several dogs that are available, and sometimes I put them on my website, and they're wonderful dogs there. In fact, a friend of mine was thinking of adopting one of those featured dogs. I hope he did. Anyway.
Speaking of animals and cats, I just got this email from Robert Knott this morning, and I have to read it.
Uh-oh.
The amazing Acro cats will perform their remarkable feats of agility, remarkable because they're, you know, house cats, pushing carts, riding skateboards, rolling barrels, ringing bells, turning on lights, walking tight ropes, jumping through hoops, and much more. This is all done under the auspices of master trainer Samantha Martin, and this show is going to be at Warehouse 21, March 9th, 10th, and 11th. So if you want to see house cats push around carts and walk on a tightrope, you got to be at Warehouse 21 on the 9th, 10th, and 11th of March.
I thought he was going to write and complain about being called a pair of comfortable shoes.
No, I think that's a compliment. You got to be a shoe guy, I guess, to think.
Are you a shoe guy,
I'm
Rob?
I'm a total shoe guy.
Really?
Oh, you know I'm a shoe guy.
Yeah, that's true. You've got those shiny green ones.
Yes. Yes. I've got...
Ladies and gentlemen, sometime we should feature Rob DeWalt's shoes. Again, we'll put them on the website.
We'll do a shoe of the week. I'll photograph my shoes.
What are you wearing today?
Today I'm wearing my Doc Martens.
He's wearing his black leather Doc Marten low ankle boots.
Yes. Yes.
Cool. Let me just finish the Shamrock thing. If you're interested in adopting Shamrock or any other kitty, call 505-316-2281 or email askfelinesandfriends@yahoo.com. You can go to FANDFNM. FN, okay. FNM.org.
F and F.
Felines and Friends.
Felinesandfriends.org.
But it's F and F, not Felines and Friends. And I also want to let people know about the virtual dinner guest project with Karachi, Pakistan at Zane Bennett Contemporary Arts tomorrow night. And it's a little fundraiser, and it's also a dinner. Did you hear about that project? What they do is they go on Skype with people in other parts of the world, and you have dinner together.
Yeah.
Of course, it's breakfast if it's the other side of the world for one person or the other.
Yeah. I sat in at the Uganda dinner.
That's right. You went to the Uganda dinner. I didn't go to that.
Yeah, and I am going to the Karachi dinner. I don't think I'm going to sit at the table this time because I have a lot of commitments that day, but I'm certainly going to stop by. Eric Maddox and I had a beer summit, and this, he's really passionate about this project. And
he's really
and
something.
I am too.
Yeah.
And he's headed to Beirut.
Yeah, so it's also a fundraiser for him to raise money to go to Beirut and do these. So what he's going to do is he's actually collaborating with university students here in the United States and get them to have dinner with people in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool, bridge building.
It's a brilliant project.
Yeah, it's a brilliant project. So it's tomorrow night at the Zane Bennett Contemporary Art at 435 South Guadalupe from 7:30 until 10:30 at night.
Yay. Oh, I want to mention on Saturday the 21st, High Mayhem Studios over there on Cellular Lane is also having a show, Distortion by Design. It's a multimedia art installation and performance by Vadi Grantas and Helen Grulke, and that's at 7 p.m., and there's a suggested donation for that. High Mayhem always puts on great, great shows.
They do indeed.
And their multimedia art installations are on par with Meow Wolf.
Well, that's saying something.
What else? What else is going on? Oh, I got to mention also on Saturday, while I was on my little respite, a great friend and ally of the Santa Fe music community passed away. And tonight, tomorrow night at Cowgirl, starting at 5:00, there's going to be a fundraiser for his daughter's education. Shanti Ananda passed away, and there's going to be tons and tons of bands. And if I may just rattle some of them off, Alstasho Rama. There's going to be Boom Roots, Abo and Roots is Dem. Anthony Leon and the Chain, Broom Dust Caravan, Felici Los Gatos, Felicia Ford, and the greatest punk band that Santa Fe ever saw, 27 Devils Joking, will be sort of reuniting for a show. There's going to be two stages. There's going to be one that opens at 9:00 in the Mustang Room. That's where most of the punk and the heavier rock is going to be. And then the other music, the Americana and the reggae and stuff, will be in the restaurant itself. I think it's probably still too cold for them to play outside.
And I'm so sorry about the loss of your dear friend, who was a young man and who just died.
Yeah, he was
very
my age,
suddenly.
Died very suddenly. And onward and upward. You know, this is the kind of send off I think he'd want. So
yeah.
So he's getting it, and you know, and it's and helps support the family too. So that's really important.
Have you heard about the George O. Jackson exhibition at the CCA?
I have heard about it. Tell me all about it, though.
No, you tell me.
No, tell me all about it.
The public opening is tonight from 6:30 to 8, and they will be pouring Crystal Head vodka drinks.
Yes. Crystal Head vodka.
But I haven't actually seen the pictures.
You know who's a spokesperson for Crystal Head vodka?
Who?
Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Or he was in the beginning when they first launched it. There were all these commercials were circulating with Dan Aykroyd talking about this vodka that's sold in a crystal skull.
Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
Well, that actor from The Sopranos is now a tequila spokesman. I've
really?
Noticed on television. Yes.
Not the which one?
The guy who played Christopher.
Oh yeah, yeah.
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 He's a cousin of mine. No, he isn't, but I'm just saying he could be.
Anywho.
Yeah, so check out the CCA tonight from 6:30 to 8. Public opening. Should be great fun. And we might be talking to Craig Anderson of the CCA about that show next week because I'm going to go see it. I haven't seen it yet.
Did you read this study that I think it was released yesterday, or at least it was reported on yesterday by a newspaper in Farmington about New Mexico being the worst place for children to live?
Well, apparently, according to the legislative updates we keep having, that children can't read.
Yes. That's one of the reasons that they made the bottom of the list, which is why it might be important to go on Sunday the 22nd to a talk called Who Controls Education? It's part two of an ongoing series in, about education in New Mexico with Michael Anderson, who's the Dean of Education at Highlands University, and also attorney Sherry Tippett will be there. That's at 11 a.m. on Sunday at Travel Bug over there on Paseo de Peralta. There's no charge for that. You can call 474-1457 if you need to get caught up on other events happening at the Travel Bug. They do neat stuff there. Slideshows and whatnot.
They do. They do very good stuff there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder whether the people who are learning to be teachers are being properly taught or properly prepared to go into the classroom.
Yes. No, they're not. Well, I don't think so. I had this long conversation with a local designer named Maggie McNabb a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
And she was telling me that, you know, she's got nothing against teachers, but she has something against how they are asked to teach.
Oh, how they are asked to teach.
Yes.
What does that mean?
Well, it basically means that there's a loss of critical thought. There's a loss of critical thinking and creative problem solving in the learning process right now, in public education anyway. And that was her big beef. And I tend to agree.
Yeah. So what is it? They're just saying drugs are bad and cake kind of thing?
No, I think it has a lot to do with standardized testing and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Expectations tend to be lower for the creative mind with that kind of an educational setup. But anyway, we could go on and on.
We could, especially, I don't think either one of us has children that, I don't have any that I know of.
No, I don't have any.
Yeah.
Either.
So
I have two dogs.
Yeah,
I've
got multiple dogs as well. And they are perpetual toddlers who, however, have already learned to use my credit cards and order pizza.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I mean, I don't know how they get the pizza crust in the house. I'm assuming that's what they're doing. It shows up on my bills. Okay, Saturday, January 21st, from 1 to 4, Collected Works Bookstore hosts designer Deborah Grossman for a workshop entitled Crochet in the Round, Hats, Bags, and Motifs. People will learn standard methods of making a uniform circle, all sorts of crochet stuff. For more information, 988-4226. You have to pay and you have to reserve a place in the class. I don't think it's very expensive, though. Sunday, January 22nd, at Collected Works Bookstore, singer-songwriter Lori Fiorentino will be there doing her family-friendly set of original music. She has been described as the Georgia O'Keeffe of music. That's very sweet. Her music emphasizes intimacy, femininity, space, and complexity. And Wednesday, the 25th of January, at 6 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore, the Shared Reading Series presents novelist Jessica Sarabia and Barbara Ruther reading of their first books. And Jessica's novel, The Choice, follows the letter E, a girl with rare degenerative disease who discovers that her cells can cure cancer and prolong longevity. Barbara Ruther's novel, Saving Snowflakes in My Pocket, loves survival through years of deception, shares the story of a love triangle between two brothers and the woman for whom they keep an explosive secret.
Ooh.
That's all at Collected Works Bookstore, 988-4226, and you can find them on the web, Collected Works Bookstore.
That sounds compelling.
Yep.
You know what's really compelling to me?
What?
Art theft.
I'm going to be doing an interview on Monday about art theft with Judd Best.
With Judd Best?
Yep.
This retired criminal lawyer, is going to discuss famous cases of art theft at 6 p.m. on Monday at the Georgia O'Keeffe Museum Education Annex, which is not the museum itself.
It is
the annex.
Grant Avenue.
Yes, 123 Grant Avenue. There's a story in today's Boston TFO.
Oh, good.
And when are you going to interview him?
Monday morning. Yep, it should be very interesting. I think those cases... And one of the things I was reading, first few chapters of a book that a museum director, I think of the Tate Gallery in England, wrote about art theft, and he was saying that there's such a huge gap between myth and reality. The myth is kind of like the Thomas Crown affair and kind of, you know, the victimless crime and sort of romanticized in the movies and stuff like that. And real art theft is run basically by mafias that are associated with drugs and really high-level criminal organized crime activity, and there's all sorts of violence, brutality, and misery involved.
That's depressing.
I know.
I like the romantic part of it.
But a lot of time they get it back.
They do.
But sometimes they don't.
They do get it back. Sometimes they get it back and it's not real, but
yeah,
well,
there's that. And this Saturday morning at 11 right here on KSFR, Camp Love Wave. The camp celebrates its 11th birthday with part two of Taryn's conversation with author David Icke. The actor, comedian, director Bob Saget will stop by for the party, and there will be presents and party favors.
Party favors? Like noisemakers and things?
I'm just reading what they give me.
Awesome. Hey, Wednesday and Thursday, the second annual Winter Dance is presented by students from New Mexico School for the Arts. This is a great showcase that they do, and of course, they've only been around for 2 years, so this is their second one. But they're a lot of fun, and there's guest artists involved. It's at 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday at the James A. Little Theater. And there is a ticket price. Students and seniors get a discount. If you call 310-4194, you can find out more information about it.
Oh, but you want to hear a little story about the New Mexico School for the Arts?
Yes, I do.
They got a less than stellar grade on that.
I heard.
And you know why?
Why?
Because they compared they were looking at quote-unquote graduation rates, so they compared the number of freshmen to the number of seniors, and that wasn't a good ratio.
Right.
But they've only been in business
right.
for a year or two.
Yeah.
So they can't have graduating seniors because they haven't gone through the program
right.
yet.
It's
so somebody wasn't paying
attention. Someone wasn't doing creative problems.
Somebody wasn't looking at what was right in front of them, which means to me that they went to one of those schools that got a low grade on the if they had been
or
giving
help,
grades.
Or helped design the grades in the first place. Anywho, we could go on and on and on. Let's see, what else is going on? Oh, I want to mention real quick, during my little sabbatical, I snuck in an interview with some really bright young adults and teens who are involved with Warehouse 21. And on Saturday the 21st, beginning at 6 p.m., they're having what they're calling Funk the Rainbow, which is a LGBTQ-friendly dance, but it's an electric dance. It's a EDM, you know, electronic dance music sort of showcase. And at least eight New Mexico artists, including DJs No Thing, Phoenix, Chaos and Twist, Bagugal, Skits Revenant, James NM Tribe, Frost, Mickey Paws. There's going to be a poi dancing demonstration. You know what poi is? Those little balls on the little tethers that you...
Oh, right.
I don't know if they're going to be on fire or not. And then also there's going to be a performance by the Electics Go-Go Dancers.
Electics?
Electic. I-L-L-E-C-T-I-X-X.
Oh, of course.
It sounds very electronic dancey.
Right.
Anyway, basically these two guys are trying to sort of re-energize the all-ages electronic dance music scene in Santa Fe. And this is their first go at it, pretty much. And that's at, what did I say, 6 p.m. Saturday, Warehouse 21. You can get tickets at the door. I think advance tickets you can no longer get, but this is a great way to go out and support all-ages electronic dance music in Santa
cool.
Fe. And I wrote about it in my column today, so you can read that in Soundwaves if you so desire. Ooh, you know what also is this weekend, which is really cool? Actually, it's not this weekend. It starts on the 25th, is the Taos Winter Wine Festival. And I can't make it this year, but I went up a couple of years ago and had a blast. We rented a little condo up there for like 3 days. And
that's the way to do it. Don't drink and drive, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, don't drink and drive. There's probably not that many condos left up there, but they have shuttles and things like that to get
yeah.
you to and from there safely. And that's in Taos Ski Valley. If you go to TaosWinterWineFestival.com, you can find out more information about tastings and events and seminars and all kinds of neat stuff that happens up there.
Santa Fe Artist Market Indoor Show, 9 to 5 every Saturday at the Old Borders. And it's in the rail yard area, plenty of free parking, 9 to 5. And it's through the end of March. And the Lucky Bean Cafe is also inside the border space.
The Lucky Bean Cafe.
Yep.
I haven't even been in there yet.
I haven't either.
I have to make a trek over there. Hey, I want to make an announcement. Santa Fe Bandstand Inside Out Productions is still looking for performers for the 2012 season of the Santa Fe Bandstand Concert Series on the Plaza.
Yes.
Right?
One of the great institutions.
Yes.
Shout out to David Lesh.
So what you need to do is you need to email bios and attach a YouTube or a video link or an audio sample to info@outsideinproductions.org between Thursday, March 15th and Sunday, April 15th. All right? And then on May 1st, they'll let you know whether you're in or out.
Excellent.
Okay.
Inside Out.
You can also mail press kits to Outside In at P.O. Box 5714, Santa Fe, 87502-5714. That's a lot of numbers.
That's a lot of numbers.
Just use the website.
Gabe Block is doing an artist talk and book signing at the New Mexico Museum of Art this Sunday, the 22nd of January, from 2 to 3:30. She's a wonderful artist, wonderful photographer. She's going to be talking about her career and how her work as a portrait photographer has given her insight into life and love. Her latest book is called About Love, Photographs and Films, 1973 to 2011. It's a Radius book. Radius is a wonderful publisher here in Santa Fe. For more information, 983-4068 or email info@radiusbooks.org.
I'm a Radius groupie. I'm also a Gay Block groupie.
Yeah.
The book is beautiful.
Yeah, it is beautiful.
It's a wonderful monograph.
I hope we get her on the air.
You
should. Gay, if you want to get on the air, call me.
Okay. We got some movies opening this weekend, right?
Oh, good, yes.
We have My Afternoons with Marguerite, right? Which is, I believe it's a French film. Okay, it's not rated. It's 82
French
minutes.
Is that the screen? Unrated French film?
Oui. It's reviewed today by Laurel Gladden in the Pasatiempo, and she gave it 3 chilies. What else is
Did
there?
Did you see the Meryl Streep movie about Margaret Thatcher?
No, I believe I'm going to be seeing that this weekend.
Don't even bother.
Really?
Awful.
My mother
and
is going
to
be so
say
disappointed.
That lightly.
She was so looking forward to seeing it. Was it her performance that was awful? Or?
You know, there's something that I call the Meryl Streep paradox, which is, on the one hand, she gets every gesture and every single thing about her character perfectly. On the other hand, you never get into her character because you're watching her act. You're watching the craft of her acting. And in this case, you're watching the craft of her acting, and you're watching the makeup, which ages her amazingly. And it's all so realistic that you don't pay it. I never felt like I was inside the movie, under the spell of the movie, watching the story.
Mm-hmm.
I just felt like I was watching Meryl Streep acting the whole time.
Oh, that's disappointing.
That's the Meryl Streep paradox. That happens in other movies. Not in all of her movies.
Yeah.
Today, January 20th, at 12:10, there is a free concert at St. John's College, Schubert's Chamber Music 3. It's a lunchtime concert in the Junior Common Room at the Peterson Student Center at St. John's College. And Ariel Winnick violin, Megan Case cello, and Peter Pesek piano. That should be some good stuff. And then, let's see, today also at 8 p.m., Caleb Thompson, who's a tutor at St. John's College, will be talking about Thucydides' Coursera and the Meaning of Words. I don't know if I pronounced that one right. Also, it's in the Great Hall at the Peterson Student Center, again, tonight at 8 o'clock, free and open to the public. St. John's, check it out. They do wonderful things over there.
Neat. They do.
They do.
Excuse me. There's some other films opening. We've got, of course, Shame, which is opening at... let's see. Where is that opening? Oh, Shame is opening at Regal de Vargas. We've also got, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close. Let's see. We've got The Met Live in HD on Saturday, right, at 11 a.m. and an encore at 6 p.m. at the Lens Performing Arts Center. Oh, gosh, there's a lot of films.
What about the Harry Belafonte movie at the CCA?
I don't know. Is that one opening this week?
Maybe it just opened.
Do you remember what it's called? I don't remember what it's called.
Anyway, check it out. Go to ccasantafe.org and you can find out more about that.
Neat. And Urbanize is opening at CCA Cinematheque. Documentarian Gary Hutswit made the terrific films Helvetica and Objectified examines design on a much bigger scale. City planning. Urbanize looks at the future of metropolitan areas through interviews with architects and planners.
Excellent.
That could be fun.
Yep.
That could be fun.
Lots.
If you geek out on design. That
lots of good things. January 22nd, prayer shawl maker Beth Serdet will be painting Hebrew letters with gold and dyes on silk at the New Mexico History Museum. It's from 11 to 1, and it's in conjunction with the exquisite St. John's Bible exhibition. For more information, newmexicocreates.com and listeningtoraven.com. And that should be great fun. That's, once again, the 22nd. That's, I guess,
yes.
That's Sunday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
All right.
All day.
All day. Well, I guess it's time to go. I'm listening to the music in the background. Oh, don't wait a minute. One more thing. New Mexico Coalition for Choice, Monday, January 23rd at 2:30 in the Rotunda at the State Capitol, is having an event. Pro-choice is pro-family, Roe versus Wade Day. So that's Monday at 2:30 at the Rotunda here in the State Capitol. Make your voices heard, ladies and gentlemen, whatever your position on all these issues, because it's the legislative session. Rob DeWalt is with the Paso Tiempo Friday Arts Magazine, the Santa Fe New Mexican. He's with us just about every Friday speaking of the arts. And it's time to go. Have a great weekend, Rob.
You too, dear.
Hasta la vista.
Bye.